I'm glad you brought this up. We need to train the team members how to do this. And in my opinion, the best way to do that is to have them sit down, open up a Printavo record and say, hey, Steven, if you were calling this person, what would you bring up? What specific point of value could you deliver to this individual?
Stahls, if you're ready to take custom apparel to the next level, Stahls is a leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business or just starting out, or an established brand that's scaling. Use the code HUSTLER20. That gets you 20% off your next transfer order. Stahls has got the equipment, the transfers, and the support to help your shop grow and be a success.
Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft underscore daddy? I think last time I checked, he's at like 1,400 followers, which like, that's a pretty big deal. Because if you need ink supplies or a daddy or just entertaining content, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with the top brands at competitive prices. You can mention the Printavo Pod and receive an extra 10% off your first order. Dave at Multicraft heard that we wanted to give away some supplies. So every episode, he gives away a case of PMI tape. So you can message him on Instagram. That's Multicraft underscore daddy. Leave him a nice comment. Tell him his videos are great. I think he's doing screen printing history videos recently. So we appreciate you, Dave, and the Multicraft team.
I got more giveaways. Easy Way gives away $250 of product credit every single month. Easyway.com/giveaway. Enter in your info and you are entered in. Make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with Easy Way systems, chemicals, and equipment. So that's easyway.com/giveaway. Just drop your info in and have a chance to win the $250.
Sweet. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you need to hit up GraphicSource. They're the industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management softwares when it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service. There's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game. They really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. On your first order for a vector SEP or embroidery order, you can get 50% off by mentioning the Printavo podcast. We use them at Campus Inc. and they are a staple to our business. So thanks so much, GraphicSource. Let's get to the episode. What's up, Print Hustlers? It's Steven from Campus Inc. and our very special guest, frequent podcast. I'd call you like the third. Are you the third wheel?
I can be the third wheel.
Kevin Baumgart. Our good friend Bruce is having his firstborn child. We're so happy for him. And he wanted to record. He's like, yeah, I can still do it. And we're like, dude, you need to change diapers and do all that good stuff. So he's figuring out how to automate all that right now. But we're super, super happy for him. So wanted to bring my good friend Kevin on the podcast to talk sales a little differently. And for those that don't know Kevin Baumgart, Sales Inc., Fabric founder, launching Outbound Engine, which is a new tool you guys are working on, a fractional VP of sales for Campus Inc. and hundreds of other shops in the industry. Kevin has been a wealth of knowledge for all of us and excited to have you back. What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks, Bruce, for taking a break. Excited to chat about the topic at hand.
What's new in your world, Kevin? I know not too many trade shows and stuff, but what's new in the printing sales world? What are the new things you're working on?
It's been an interesting year. There's some shops that are doing pretty well and are up year over year. A lot of people are kind of stagnant in growth. There's a few shops that are down, so it's just been kind of all over the board. I think automation, like we're hearing AI nonstop. Automation is the name of the game for a lot of these shops of trying to figure out, how can we do more with less and just try to get better? But yeah, no shows. So it's been nice for me to be here working and not on the road and just getting to jam on all things sales strategy with a bunch of different shops. It's been fun. Been a fun few couple months.
So today we're going to talk about account managers. And I think a lot of shops are in a predicament. They want to hire an outbound sales team. They might not have an outbound sales team. And we've talked a lot about hiring an outbound sales team, creating a structure for it, going outbound, knocking on doors. But there are some shops that just don't have that. They have a person or two in the front of their shop I guess they answer all the phones, they input all the orders, and they have become the account manager. So the challenge on the last episode we did, Kevin, was like how to grow to $1 million in, you know, like if you're starting from scratch. But what I really want to focus on and the challenge I want to give you today is if you didn't have an outbound sales team, you couldn't afford to hire that person. Maybe you're striking out and you just have a couple people at the front of the shop inputting your orders, which I know we all do. How do you actually turn that into a sales machine and a sales engine? And how do you get $1 million out of them per person? So that's what I want to riff on, because I think we're all struggling with that just a little bit.
Yeah, the $1 million account manager. It is so funny that when most shops reach out to me, they're like, hey, Kevin, I need help building this outbound engine. And I want to drive more sales from net new clients. Like you mentioned, Steven, there's this untapped potential and opportunity of all of our current customers, people that already buy from us that we maybe aren't maximizing the potential for. And we have, you know, salespeople right now, they might be disguised as account managers or customer service folks or, you know, order takers, but they are selling and they can be doing a lot more, I think is what we're going to get at.
So if you were in a formal sales company, you've taught us this, you have a sales development rep that, you know, marketing sales development rep that's going outbound, account managers, account executives in the sales ecosystem. What is the definition of an account manager? Like if you were in a big organization, what would that truly, truly mean?
Let's use account manager as the generalized role that we're talking about today. In most organizations, the account manager are the people that manage accounts post-sale, post-close. So the account executives close those initial opportunities. And then once they are a current client, the account managers are managing those relationships ongoing, providing customer support, focusing on retention, upsell, cross-sell, helping to manage reorders. They're doing everything customer facing with that client.
Gotcha. So if someone emails through our lead form, I don't have someone that's going to close the sale and then someone that's going to deal with the customer after. That is essentially the same person for today.
Exactly. Yeah. And most shops don't have this defined outbound seller. They don't have this person that's fielding inbound orders and closing new business or going outbound and closing that new business as well. It's on the account manager. It's on your order taker. It's on your customer service folks. So they are really salespeople.
I feel like in a lot of our shops, the person up front is just kind of like in the matrix, just getting shot at. And it's like, okay, there's a reorder. Someone called in. Ah, there's a big customer that walked in. I'm like, hey, Lauren, you need to handle this and that. And so I still think you can give definition and structure to that and actually turn it into a sales role. And this actually happened to us. I don't know, Kevin, this was a long time ago, but you started working with Myla at the front desk. Was this like engagement number two or three?
Pretty close. This is probably 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago now. Yeah.
And Kevin really focused on like a bunch of different activities that Myla could do, even though she was really just like secretarial or administrative. So like it can be done with anyone. I guess if you have that person up front, where do you even start with them? Like what's the starting point?
I think it's really about defining the role. Like with Myla, she was doing a lot of admin work, answering phones. You know, if people came in to pick up a delivery, like she was supporting that. And a lot of times there hasn't been clear definition of the job. Like when I think about account managers, I think about retention, expansion, and maybe experience. So I want to do everything I can to retain clients, do everything I can to expand and get new business or get them to reorder more consistently or drive new opportunities and then have a great experience so they stay with us. Like that's really what I look for and how I would define the role. So I think the first thing is just getting alignment on what the role is, what they're accountable for, and then yeah, how their performance is going to be measured and what we really expect.
So if you had that employee and you were sitting down with them, how would you, and you knew that they were also secretarial and handling whatever, how would you split out their time? Like, what would you put pen to paper and like talk to that person? Like, yeah, like how would you actually break it out? Would it be like 2 hours a day you have to do this? Is it expectations? Like, how would you actually define their role?
Yeah, I think because there's a lot of reactive nature of that role, right? It's not like they can just define and this is their day and they can block hours. it's a really, really reactive role. So I don't know if you can put pen to paper and define, hey, from 9 to 10, you're going to be working on this, from 10 to 11, this. But I do think if we put together some accountability metrics and some structured KPIs, key performance indicators that they're going to be measured against, I think it makes it easier. And just setting expectations of the role overall, that's where I would start with. But I love where you're going in, like, usually when I'm helping a shop to build out a new role, we go through a role profile process, and part of that is a day in the life. So help me understand what an average day in the life of an account manager looks like. It could be spending, 10% of your time managing and fielding walk-ins. It could be, 15% of your time focused on proactive current customer outreach. So I think and there's no right or wrong answer here. I think every shop is a little bit different based on their account management role. But I would do what you said, is try to break down as much as you can. Hey, here is what a day in the life looks like. Here's what you're going to be accountable for. And I would guess that your day kind of falls in this way.
Yeah. And some days are going to go to shit, right? But you have to give it flexibility. So I heard you say something a couple seconds ago. You said, like, reactive sales versus proactive sales. Can you maybe talk a little bit about defining what are reactive activities that this person's going to do? What are proactive, and almost like starting to put them in buckets?
Traditional account managers within print shops, almost 100% of their role is reactive. Talking to people that walk in, they're fielding an inbound inquiry, new inquiry that comes in. They're reacting to production information about a delivery that's maybe behind and having to go back to that customer. They're really not proactive really at all, as far as the experience that I've had in working with these folks. Would you agree with that, Steven?
100%. They're just getting shot at and they're trying to deflect them. And, they're not thinking about, oh, what can I be doing, proactively, right? Like, they're just not thinking about it. And so I think being able to sit down with them and showing them there's actually two big buckets of your job. Part of your job is reactive. Part of your job is proactive. Getting them to have this aha moment of, like, reactive is just half the battle. You have to be making sure that your role is also proactive. Now, if you were in a big company, as an account manager, it's all proactive, right? Like, my SNS rep, they'll answer some emails when I send them, but they call me and they're like, can I come out to visit you? We want to go over your sales, right? Like, all of us have reps and kind of understand what that looks like. And so I think, defining reactive versus proactive definitely is step one of the process. What do you think is, like...
Real quick though, proactive being like, what could a proactive item that they do be? Like, just outreach, like going out to those current customers and proactively reaching out. I've been talking about this a lot. I don't think I talked about it on the pod though. I'm calling this the 5-touch rule. And I've rolled this out at quite a few shops and it is making a really, really big impact. The structure and strategy here is just make 5 proactive outbound touches every day to current customers. So you're now assigning your account manager 1 small proactive duty per day, which is 5 calls, not emails, 5 calls. So they're proactively reaching out to 5 folks. They're likely not going to get all 5 live. They might get 1 or 2 live. I have them block usually 15 to 30 minutes. Might take them 5. It might take them all 30. But they're reaching out to 5 current customers and they're having a proactive dialogue with them. What this is not is this is not, hey, just checking in or just circling back or just following up, wanted to see if there's anything we can do to help. I want to be creative in this outreach and add value in the outreach. So we got to train our account management teams on, like, what are some of the reasons why we should be reaching out? Here's an example. Actually, let me give you the talk track first. The way that I usually open this call is, hey, Steven, Kevin with Sales Inc. I was looking at your file and I noticed just something about it. I was looking at your file and I noticed, and now you're saying what you noticed. Like, I was looking at your retail merch breakdown and I noticed that you aren't doing any koozies. A lot of other breweries that we work with have a pretty good koozie lineup. Can I send you some samples? Or I was looking at your file and I noticed you've consistently ordered every May for the last 4 years and you didn't order this last May. Is there something that I can help you with? Are we behind? Do we need to restock any of the merch or apparel that you have today? Or, hey, I noticed you haven't ordered in 6 months. I know a lot of shops do that proactive outreach of, you haven't ordered, or you ordered 11 months ago. Do you need to order again? That would be an example of the proactive outreach, doing those five touches.
And I think with that proactive, like you said something there of like, hey, I noticed it is wild when I go through some of our team's scripting and I see some of the things they say and I'm like, no, like,
what do you mean? Like just the wording that they use?
Yeah. Like sometimes the wording, and it's like, you actually have to train them on the way. Cause that word you just said, they're like, hey, I noticed, right? If we told a bunch of people to say, hey, go reach out to five people, they would probably say, hey, I'm just checking in. Do you need anything?
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought this up. We need to train the team members how to do this. And in my opinion, the best way to do that is to have them sit down, open up a Printavo record and say, hey, Steven, if you were calling this person, what would you bring up? What specific point of value could you deliver to this individual? And then see what they say. One nugget. Yep. And then you can add something. Open up another record, do that 5, 10, 15, 20 times in a couple different sessions. And they're going to think a little bit differently about, once they see past order history and a little bit of information on that client, a good reason as to why they would be reaching out then.
So like a proactive activity is reaching out to five current customers and giving them one nugget.
Totally. Totally. Or one ask, you know, like, or one opportunity or one question. Like this doesn't have to be huge groundbreaking conversations. It's really like, hey, your merch and apparel provider is reaching out to you proactively. Is there anything we can do to help? That's essentially like what I want to get to. But think about that. If my account manager, if I have one, they reach out to five people a day, that's 20, 25 a week, that's 100 a month. Just doing that small 15 to 30 minute action, you've now proactively reached out to 100 people. You're not going to talk to 100 people, but that is way, way more proactive outreach than most shops do in a year. Now, if you have two or three customer facing people, now you've got 300 actions and activities every month. It's wild to see the impact that this can have just by doing that one small strategy.
Kevin meets with a bunch of different teams and they practice these on calls. So like, you know, Lindsay and Fisher recently were figuring out how to give a nugget, and like, you actually have to practice it. You actually have to sit and role play it. And it sounds corny and cheeky and whatever, but like getting them good at doing this, they'll start making it second nature. And I think one of the biggest things that we miss is we assume that the people at the front of our shop actually know sales vernacular, and they actually know how to sell and spin sell and do all those kind of cool things. So I think there has to be like an element of teaching. Okay, what would be other, so that's one, like reach out to five. What would be other proactive activities that your account managers could do, you know, every day? What would be another one?
Just like overall follow-up. A lot of folks have automations in the shop management software, like Printavo shoots them an email a week after it's delivered. I think some personalized outreach is helpful in this. Like people know when it's an automated email. Steven, I used to get a ton of these, like, can you please give us a Google review? You had that automation built and I knew it wasn't you or Myla or Haley emailing me directly. It was your automation setup. So some of that personalized outreach goes a long way. Even if it's as simple as, hey, just checking in. I wanted to make sure you're 100% satisfied with the merch you got last week. Let me know if there's anything that I can do to help and support you. I think just that nice touch point and follow-up is really strong.
So what you're saying is, okay, I've got like, I had a bunch of customers pick up on Friday. They had an event over the weekend. On Monday or Tuesday, I'm just reaching out and saying, hey, how did your event go? Did everyone like the shirts? Just checking in. And it's just like closing the loop on a past order that you had recently.
And that sounds great in nature, but when it comes down to the actual business, are our account managers going to remember to do that? And are they going to action on it? High likelihood of no. So in my experience, the only way that happens is in the CRM, if an order goes to closed one and we have the in-hands date listed in that CRM record, we have an automation set up so that it sets a task for that person to say check-in post-order in-hands date. That's 7 days after that delivery or 7 days after that pickup. Now it's not, I hope my team and I'm training them and asking them to do post-order follow-ups. Now it's, they have a task and I can see their tasks. Did they accomplish them or not? So that's the only way to really automate this and make sure that they do it.
Let's think of a couple others. And then I kind of want to talk about like gamifying it and stuff like that. So we said post post follow up, five nuggets. What would be another activity that could be routine and easily trackable?
This is one of my favorites. Most shops spend a lot of time and effort asking for and focusing on reviews. And they want to get that Google review number as high as possible and more reviews than other folks in their geos. For me, though, more valuable than a review is a referral. Referral has a direct correlation and a connection to revenue. Review is positive, right? It's going to help us, and hopefully it'll help us drive revenue in the future. But if we get someone that refers someone that buys from us, that has a direct impact on the business right away.
How do you make that ask?
There's a strategy behind referrals. When do you ask? For me, I think it's, I don't know, early, often, always. Like, it's okay to ask for referrals at any time. My favorite time to do it is in the honeymoon phase after they've gotten their merch. After they get that box, open the box and see the merch, there's usually a, you know, moment of elatement. They love it. And that is the time to make the ask for me. And then how do you ask, or what specifically do you ask? My strategy is be as specific as possible. Is it okay to say, hey, do you know anyone that you could refer me to that we could maybe help with and provide the same amount of value as you? Like, that's okay. But I would rather say, hey, Steven, are there any other print shop owners that you network with that you think could utilize some sales strategy and sales coaching and advice that you might be able to connect us with? That really, really specific ask has now got you thinking, not should I make a referral to Kevin, but what other print shop owners do I know that I could make that connection to? It just changes that frame a little bit. So being really specific in who you're asking for, what you're asking for.
Sometimes what I do is, like, I'm always asking for warm introductions. Warm introductions are the best way for us to connect to people. And a lot of times I'm going on LinkedIn and I'm seeing, like, who do they know that I want to know? And I will reach out personally and say, hey, I have a favor to ask. I know you're connected to this person and this person and this person. I'm trying to get their business. Would you mind introing us? They might shut you down, totally fine. But, like, I really want to get, you know, I want them. And it's like putting them on your team, I think, is the angle there. And they're like, yeah, they'll order from you for sure. Let me connect you. Or they might say, I don't really know them that well, right? But, like, you have to ask for that. And I frame it as, I have a favor. Do you think you could do this favor for me? So I think that referrals is awesome.
Real quick, let's dive into that a little bit deeper. To make it even easier for that person to pass off a referral, why not put the referral language and the referral email into an email for them that all they have to do is copy and paste it and put you both in the to line? Like, you can even say, hey, I'll make it super easy for you. I'm going to email you a quick blurb right now that says, you know, hey, Steven, meet Kevin. He helps us with our merch. I thought a conversation between the two of you could be beneficial. I'll let you both take it from here. You put that language and send it to that person that you're asking for a referral from in an email and just say, just throw us both in the to line. That's all I ask. So now you've made it really, really easy and streamlined and straightforward as to how they can make that ask. And real quick, the last thing on referrals is, like everything in business, we have to track and measure and monitor it. And it's not just tracking referrals gathered. That's usually all I see shops track if they are tracking it. It's referrals asked, referrals that we asked for, referrals generated, and then revenue from referrals or orders from referrals. You can don't just track the lagging indicator of, like, did we get a referral? And that really doesn't have a tie to revenue. Track the leading indicator of how many asks did we make? How many referrals did we then generate? And how many orders or revenue did we get from those referrals? And if you start tracking this, and more importantly, if you hold your account managers accountable to doing a number of in each of those buckets, way, way higher likelihood that they're going to be accountable to it. And you're going to get this proactive outreach that you want.
Sweet. I'm going to throw one as a proactive is, this is something we do is when a customer doesn't decide to work with us, or they've ghosted us, or they, I don't know, the deal's fallen off or the quote's just been stale. We give up on it and they're like, they went somewhere else or something else happened. And it's like, could a proactive activity actually be going through lost orders?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And it could just be simply thinking about you. I have some ideas and some strategies that I wanted to share. I wouldn't, same thing. I wouldn't just do the just following up or just circling back or just checking in. I want to figure out how I can add value. I actually did this yesterday to a few folks that I'd worked with, and I would specifically mention, like, in that email, I know your goal when we talked at the end of 2025 was to hit 3 million in 2026. Are you on track for that? And what is standing in the way of you hitting that $3 million goal? Let's chat if I can support you in any way. So there's some specificity in why we're reaching back out. It's not just like, hey, you ghosted me or we lost that opportunity and now I'm checking in.
I am notorious about following up with people that don't answer me, like, religiously, and I will do it until they answer. And you know, I have, I don't know if it's far away, but like, I will text and just be like, hey, I know we didn't work together, but I'm still thinking about you. Right. And I think you can be open with people and be like, hey, I know we didn't win your order, but I'd still love to win your business in the future. And I think if you're genuine and authentic about it, people will actually be like, oh, they're still, maybe I'll give them a shot next time. Because like in the merch world, the door's never closed because someone's going to mess up an order and they're going to call you and be like, I need you. Right. And so I think it's really important that you consistently follow up with lost orders that you didn't get.
Steven, you shared this with the team in Slack and our sales B2B channel. So Steven showed an example of this large retailer that passed on them and that Steven stayed and continued and actually had screenshots of all the follow-up emails. And he was sending really creative and somewhat even comical responses to this individual. Like, it was uber creative, uber personal to get back in front of them and finally got an open window. But like, I think that person quickly realized that Steven wasn't backing down. Maybe that's a little bit inherent of a trait and a personality within you. And maybe it's a little bit far-fetched to have our account managers go to that level of intensity of following up and outreach. But again, if we can give them some sort of automation and some sort of task review and some sort of goal of reaching back out to 5 closed lost orders or 5 no buys every month, like that's where we start to see this making an impact.
That was probably my best one-liner. It was a huge retailer. And I said, hey, I really would love your business. And he responded back. I got a warm introduction, finally, after being ghosted, asked a friend to introduce me. And so then he emailed me and goes, send me over your catalog. I'll take a look. And I did not send the catalog. I said, I do want 15 minutes with you to talk through what we've been doing. And since I'm this person's shadow, it's like another person in the industry, you know, I'll keep showing up until you say yes. This person worked in the industry for 30 years and I'm only 10 in, so I'm not going away. And then I said, karaoke rules. If I don't impress you in the first 60 seconds, you can kick me off stage. You can't say no to that. Can't say no. I don't think your sales team should, or your account manager should necessarily be that forward. I get pretty aggressive. But like, he looked at it and he's like, all right. And I sent him an invite for 9 a.m. on Friday and he showed up and we're working with him now. So it's like, you have to get super, super creative. Okay, what other proactive activities could an account manager do that is trackable? Handwritten notes and or gifting or kidding. Could your account managers ship out 5 samples a week or write 5 handwritten notes a week and put them in the mail? And, you know, like, have you know, when you get a handwritten note from some experience you had and you're like, oh, that was really nice. And that takes minutes, but it does take effort. And so I think you could tap that in and do that as well. Okay, so we went through a bunch of proactive activities. And I think the basis here is some of these activities, they take seconds to do. Like, they don't take a long time, but we're super forgetful about them. So like, let's talk about the gamification of this, the incentive of it, the training, how you actually track this. Like, how would you build this whole thing out?
Yeah. Let's maybe go tracking first and then get into how do we gamify it and commission and compensate. The way that I, like, one of the points of criteria or the metrics that I look at for account managers is almost always book of business growth. As an account manager, most account managers own a certain number of accounts. Maybe if you have one, they own all of them, but you know what those accounts are. And most of us do a decent job of historically tracking revenue from those accounts. And the shop management software should be able to give us some of that data. Maybe not. But either way, what I'm trying to accomplish, this customer bought X amount of merch from us in 2025 dollar value, or in Q2 of 2025 bought X amount. And now how can we increase that this year or increase that this quarter? If I'm going to incentivize an account manager, which is that a salesperson? Is it an order taker? Is it a customer service person? Yes to all the above. If I'm going to incentivize them and provide a bonus or a commission, I'm not usually bonusing them on every dollar they bring in, especially if they're order taking and those are coming inbound. I'm incentivizing them on book of business growth, which will hopefully force them to do more proactive outreach.
So something you could do is you could export all of your Printavo orders. You could put it in ChatGPT and you would say, give me my top 20 customers. Give me my top 50 customers last year, how much they spent. So I have a baseline, and you could actually, you know, print that list of those 50 customers out and tape them to your door and be like, okay, this is our 50 list and this is what they spent last year. And it's almost like a thermometer of like, how do we get them to what they did last year and then past it, right? But you have to give, I think what you're saying here is you have to give them a baseline. And for us, we play the AOV game a lot. And so I even simplify it down to how many times did they order, like how many times have they ordered from us? Because we play kind of like that stats game. If they ordered 10 times from us, can we get them to order 15 times from us? Or if they ordered once a year, how do we get them to order twice a year? So you could really, really simplify it. But I think what I'm hearing is you have to create a baseline.
For sure. For sure. And that's maybe like the biggest picture, like revenue activity or revenue metric. I'm also looking at a bunch of leading indicators. So inbound lead coverage should be at 100%. If there's inbound leads come in, we should be reacting to, responding to 100% of those. Inbound lead response time, super critical. All of the data shows that the quicker we can reach out to someone that came inbound, the higher likelihood conversion is. And a lot of the data shows that after 5 minutes, conversion starts to drop, which is wild. So if someone comes in, how can we get back to them within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, within the hour at minimum? Like same day turns or next day turns, like to me, that's way too long. Because if they're not working with you today and they're proactively reaching out to you, high likelihood that they're reaching out to a number of other shops. And I know a lot of times it's our account manager's tendency when they get an inbound lead to via email or via web form to go back to them via email. My strategy is always pick up the phone. Like if someone submits a lead and I pick up the phone and call them immediately, the reaction and response I almost always get is, wow, that was fast. And my response to that is, I know you're looking at this now. I wanted to see if there's anything that I can do to help you right away. I don't want to have you wait. Like people appreciate that. If they're in the moment looking at merch right now and they just reached out to you, it means they have time to talk through this stuff. So inbound lead response time, I think is super critical. And then other actions, like how many initial calls did they schedule? How many quotes did they send? How many deals did they close? What's their close rate? Win rates, customer churn. Have they run their QPRs, their quarterly partnership reviews with their largest clients? There's a few other metrics that we can break down, but even in this reactive role, I am measuring and tracking all of the work that my account manager is doing. I'm not just letting them roll. Like there is metrics that we track and we look at every week.
How many metrics is too many, too little, right? You don't want to overwhelm them and give them 30 things to track. And a lot of times shops struggle with like, is there a tool that does this? Like, you know, I know there's the Sales Inc. CRM. I know that there's Printavo. But like starting at the baseline, how do you do it? How do you hold them accountable to it? Is it pencil and paper? Like where do you actually start?
Yeah, I mean, CRM makes this stuff so much easier, specifically like lead response time. If you have your inbound web forms automatically go into the CRM to create it and assign an opportunity, you can track that date and time stamp. And you know then when that next activity is tracked in the CRM, that, in my opinion, that's the only way for you to track lead response times. You're not going to do it manually. So if you don't have a CRM, the next best thing is a spreadsheet and just manual management. But I'll be the first to tell you it's not going to work. And it's not going to be accurate and it's not going to be utilized heavily. So CRM is an easy way to do that. To answer your question about number of metrics, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, like 8. Probably most, like you can't have 15 or 20 and you shouldn't have 1 or 2, but there should be some metrics, again, both leading and lagging, both upfront activity-based metrics, proactive outreach, and then what comes from the work that they did, output or lagging metrics, you know, a few of those to start measuring and tracking. And then I put it on the onus of my team members to plug in their numbers. The CRM is going to make this automated for you, and you should be able to build reporting in the CRM to show, all right, here's all the work that we did, and here's my metrics for the week. I still have my team members manually take that data out of the CRM and plug their numbers into like a shared Google sheet that we follow, just so that they have a microscope on it and they know exactly what they did for that week. And so that we have this one central place to review all of their metrics week over week, month over month.
I think there's a really good point to be made there. I don't do CrossFit, but if you go to a CrossFit gym, they make you write your scores on the chalkboard. Like, it's very messy and rugged. And I think the only reason they do that is just for you to actually feel what it means to actually write your score up there, right? And I think that's kind of the same thing that you're saying is like, when we, before we had our CRM and before we did all these things, it is a manual process, and you will build accountability by teaching them to enter numbers in manually. And it's less about accuracy, like, did they set up 8 or 7? It's just the habit of, this is what I'm reporting for the day. I make in our leadership Slack channel, every segment leader has to type in how the team did yesterday from a sales standpoint, and they have to give 5 metrics. And they're like, Steven, couldn't we automate this and do it? I'm like, no, that's not the point. I want you to wake up in the morning and be the first thing you send so you can set your intentions for what I need to do today. Because I think a lot of it is like your attitude and your mindset. So there's nothing wrong with manual tracking. And I think it can definitely be done super, super easy.
Love that. It's like, and good account managers are going to get that hit of dopamine when they had a really good day and they performed at a high level, and they're going to be nervous and not want to repeat what happened. It sets the tone for the day. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's not on the salespeople though, too. It's on the shop owner. Like, I should be helping them like to figure out who I need to reach out to and what conversations I need to have. This isn't like, let's set these metrics and let the team members go. We have to help and support them. And like, I don't know, one-on-ones are such a critical management leadership action and activity that not a lot of shops take a hold of. There is zero reason why you should not meet one-on-one with each of your account managers, your customer-facing team members, at least once a week for 30 minutes. And it is on us as shop owners, like, you know, how many customers haven't heard from your company in 6 months? If you don't know that, you got to start reporting on that and getting it to your team and having them reach out. Most shop owners don't know. If you ask them how many customers have not heard from you in 6 months, we need to start digging into that data and passing off those lists to our current teams to have them proactively reach out. We owners have to take a front seat in that process as well.
And what I've learned when working with shops, and even, you know, to me, is like, I would have a sales meeting and I'd be like, okay, what are we doing this week? And then when I saw you run a sales meeting, I was like, oh, this is actually how a sales meeting runs, where, you know, we're going to spend time tracking, we're going to spend time teaching, we're going to role play. And it's like, it's an action packed hour of like, you know, like, come ready to meet and come ready to bring your stuff. And I think that is a skill. That is a skill that has to be learned. But it's so, so, so important to be done. Okay. What about, incentivizing, you know, like, commission? Account managers are kind of in this like limbo spot of like, they're there. How do you reward them?
Yeah. There's no right or wrong here. There's so many shops that will provide a commission on the output that they drive, the revenue that they bring in. They get a small piece of every order. And I think we feel often that drives their motivation and they're doing everything that they can to close business, which I align with. But in most businesses, the team that manages accounts is not commissioned on the revenue that they bring in, because, It's already a current customer. It's a house account. They already buy from us. Reorders are not really selling, even though it kind of is. They're just taking orders. So other shops have the exact opposite of they just get an hourly or a salary rate. That's it. They're not commissioned salespeople. The salespeople that are going out and finding new business and closing new customers that have never ordered from us, those people are on commission. And there's no right or wrong on either of those pieces. My favorite way to commission and compensate account managers is book of business growth. They get their hourly or their salary payment. And if they drive revenue above and beyond what that cohort of customers ordered last quarter, like maybe it's a quarterly incentive payment, they get a percentage of that growth. If they did 100,000 in Q2 of 25, and now they did 150,000 in Q2 of 26, they're getting a percent of that $50,000 increase in revenue that they brought in. And to me, that still pushes them to drive that more proactive outreach.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. What if that customer just came back guns blazing and started ordering a ton more?
Then that account manager got lucky and they had a great month because of it, but we had a great month too as a business. So I'm okay with the hard work that they put in to get all these additional orders over the finish line, all good. But if that order doesn't come in next time and they didn't do that hard proactive work to get them to order more, put more creative ideas in front of them, that might not come back next quarter.
And I think so I wouldn't use the word with account managers. I wouldn't use the word commission. I would use quarterly bonus. Depending on how we did year over year for the quarter, I'll bonus you based on how that is. And maybe it's like 1%, you know, it just might be, I don't know, hey, you made an extra $1,000 or something like that, or $500. It doesn't need to be anything crazy, but it's some sort of hit for them there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got some shops that look at team bonuses versus just individual bonuses. So if you've got three account managers and it's not like I manage a book, everyone manages everything and we all share and we all work with all of our clients, whoever's there and on top of it and has free time. So if that's the structure of your account management team, I think like team bonus structure of overachieving goals. I was just on the phone with a shop out of the Chicagoland area that's doing this. They're trying to hit 500K in June. So 500 for 500, he's going to give out $500 bonuses to the account team if we hit 500K for the month of June. Like great incentive. And now the team is working together and everyone's motivated. But that doesn't work unless we talk about it. So what we went through is don't just announce 500 for 500 and then not say anything. And then at the end of June, decide if they got it or not. We got to bring this up every week. We got a thermometer in the main conference room showing where we're at in progression. We're talking about it. We're pushing. What have you done to hit 500 for 500? So using that as like a lever of incentivization and drive to get that number done.
Yeah. And I think as kids, like we went to school and teachers put marbles in the jar for pizza parties. The same thing works for adults. Not going to lie. Like people rally around it. I did for every order, you get a dollar. Like it was the pumpkin spice latte challenge. Stupid. But it was every order you process, you get $1 to Starbucks or something like $2 to Starbucks. And the winner, I doubled their gift card. And they had a little tracker and it was like the pumpkin spice challenge. And every day they would fill it out. And, you know, what's cool is like a month later, they're like, yeah, we're still using that gift card. And it's like, okay, that doesn't necessarily mean money is money, but it can be fun and it can be rewarding. But I think to your point, you have to bring it up often, consistently. I think the biggest thing about working with any sort of salesperson in your company is you have to be so consistent. The second you let off the gas and you don't start talking to them for 3 or 4 days, they'll like use that as apathy and they'll kind of, you know, like every account manager or salesperson must be managed and led. And I think that's a big miss that we have in our industry is like true leadership in sales. So Kevin, how does it, okay, I'm listening to this. I know I want this. What do you do when you come into a shop and start helping them out and figuring out like what does an engagement look like? If I know I need this, I don't know if I can do it myself. What do you do? Because people hear about you working with lots of shops. What does that actually mean?
I think the framework that we kind of talked through in this of profiling the role, building KPIs and metrics, helping them build proactive messaging, structuring it in a tool like a CRM to manage that outreach, dialing in commission and compensation and setting up contests and gamifying, like that's the type of work that I'm doing, is helping to really hold their hand to run this process.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, Kevin, is like at Campus Inc., you are a second voice. And my team, I will tell them, they hear from me every single day. But when Kevin talks, for some reason, they listen a little bit more. Maybe they just like you more. No comment there. But it's really interesting because we had a segment where I kind of took my foot off the gas. And we were reflecting. Kevin works with different departments in our company. He'll work with this team. We kind of rotate it. And I kind of took my foot off the gas. And we were reflecting at the beginning of the summer. And I was like, what do you think the difference was? And they were like, well, we didn't have Kevin this spring and you were traveling a lot. And I was like, all right, touche. Got you. But it was eye opening that like, yeah, I didn't reach out to them as much. I didn't meet with them as much. And I think that stuff is super important.
Yeah, this is, you're right. This is like a management and an oversight focus. Like this, again, just like everything in business, if we want to improve this side and we want our account managers to be more on top of our client base, more proactive, doing more day to day and not just sitting back waiting for the emails to come in and the phones to ring, we gotta do everything that we talked about and manage it day to day and support them in their work and put results and put rewards for that. Like if they do that, this is what's going to happen. And like the why behind us going to this level of focus and structure, I think is important for the team to hear.
Kevin, you do this in your life as well, like with your fitness, with other coach, you know, other things. Could you maybe, talk to us a little bit about like you made a health and fitness decision a couple months ago and you found like, can you talk to us about this? Because I think it's the same exact thing that we're talking about here.
That's an interesting parallel. I had a couple fitness goals that I wanted to accomplish and I know myself, like I'm motivated, I'll do it, but I know I'll do it better, more faster. I'll do it right if I have someone there holding me accountable. So I hired a coach. I hired a personal trainer, an ex-pro surfer. Actually, it's a wild backstory, but this guy is helping surfers in their 40s and 50s. I'm old. To continue to surf into their later stages of life and surf well. And it's not just fitness. It's also nutrition. So I knew that I would stick to a program, but I knew that it would take me to the next level if I hired someone that held me accountable and that I paid for the work that he was doing. And I've gotten there so much faster than me just doing it on my own. So even if you have people on your team that are incredibly motivated and incredibly driven, I think having that next layer of support and coach and measurement, like everything that I do is tracked. My caloric intake, my protein intake, the workouts that I do, everything is tracked. And because I have this person looking at it every day, every week, I'm held accountable to it. That's an interesting parallel, Steven.
Doesn't he like text or call you every day? Like, isn't it like that? Is there like an extreme?
Yep. He'll text, he'll communicate like great workout, good job. Not good job on your bourbon intake last night, by the way, shithead. Like he'll call me out on my food log. But again, it's that level of insight and the relationship that we've built that I appreciate just his oversight and his guidance. Same thing with managing your team. Yeah.
All right. You are working on a new tool. I think it's called Outbound Engine.
Yeah. I appreciate you letting me talk about this. I'm super pumped. I think the biggest challenge for growth that we have in our industry is just figuring out how to manage outbound. Today, we talked a lot about how can we get our inbound team members, our account managers to that next level to grow. But still, the majority of us, print shops, business owners, are not driving net new outbound opportunities. It's hard. You got to have the people to do it. You got to have the technology to do it. You got to have the automation built. You got to have the messaging and the language dialed in. Building an outbound strategy is not easy. There are shops that have done it, but a lot of them try and they fall flat. So I started to think about where are they falling flat and where are they not succeeding? And it's almost always around execution. Either they don't have the person to do it or they don't have the know-how to train that person to do it. So what my team and I have decided to launch is a solution called Outbound Engine. We're utilizing agentic AI to do all of this work for a shop. So essentially, we're going to help them with list building, with lead generation, with defining their market, with building messaging, scripting, language, and then we're going to do the outreach for them. They don't have to do anything. All those leads are going to go into the CRM. We're going to do email outreach. We're going to manage their LinkedIn profile and do LinkedIn messaging. We're even going to do some agentic outbound calling. So we're going to build this outbound engine for a shop, and all they got to do is respond to the leads and inquiries. So we're dialing in some of the specifics and dialing in some of the output and dialing in what we think we can drive as far as new quote requests or opportunities created, meetings set, which is going to be the outcome, the output that we're trying for. But they pay us a monthly fee and we manage their outbound workflow and tee up opportunities for them. That's really the solution.
And I think it's cool because it's going to be catered to the industry, meaning like you're not just hiring a appointment setting service. It's like, these guys are going to understand, you know, from all the industry knowledge that you have.
That's a good point. There are a ton of appointment setting and lead gen services out there. I have this unique vantage point because I've worked with a couple hundred print shops and have helped build this outbound strategy. And I've talked to a lot of them that have this dialed and I can see what works. So we're interjecting a lot of that knowledge into the agents. So yeah, I'm excited. June 30th, we're going to do a live launch June 30th at 11 a.m. Central Time. If y'all are interested and want to join in on that, you can email me at kevin@sales.ink, kevin@sales.inc. And I'll add you to the invite.
Cool. And so if people want to get in touch with you, kevin@sales.inc, you're in the Fabric Slack channels. This is what we kind of riff on all day, every day with other Fabric members. Kevin, you bring a wealth of knowledge to the industry and an edge that we need. So thank you appreciate it. So
yeah, thanks for having me. It's super fun talking about this stuff. So I appreciate the platform and let me spout for a little bit.
We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.